The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome to another Bite by Bite. He is Michael Coleman, Heart of Alabama Food Bank and Feeding America. We do a little short little podcast every single week. We talk about the importance of feeding America and everything that goes to feeding its insecurities, certainly in this country. And of course, he covers 35 counties in the great state of Alabama. And, you know, we were talking about COVID and how much things changed over the last couple of years. Certainly one of the things was the insecurity of food being distributed to children who no longer were going to school because they couldn't go to school. And that included something called the summer EBT. And now we're hearing that some states are not wanting to take the summer EBT. First of all, explain to me exactly what that is and why wouldn't states want to take the summer EBT?
Yeah, so what we really learned, COVID taught us a lot of things. And one of it is, you know, so many kids, that's where they get their food is they go to, they get a breakfast at school, then they get a lunch at school. And then there's even an after school program during the year that's tied to educational enrichment that they can actually give a snack and an evening meal as well, all in that time. But when summer rolls around, there's the summer feeding program they have that the government supports. Here's the problem. Imagine you're in a rural area and the way you get to a school is through a bus, you know, so you could be 1 to 20 miles away. Well, if they come up and say, yeah, we have a summer feeding program where you can come up and get a meal or two at the school, but the buses aren't running. So how does a kid do it? So the summer feeding program only reaches about 10% of the intended population. So that really in the summertime increases the food insecurity because now all of a sudden, if you have 2, 3, 4 kids at home and they're home all day long, there's no breakfast, there's no lunch. And so now parents have to all of a sudden, you know, it's more of a financial burden on them. So one of the fixes to this was those who qualify for SNAP benefits or EBT benefits, one of the things that they're doing is doing a summer increase. And so the federal government has come out and said, we're going to give states these millions of dollars and basically add it to EBT recipients who have children at home, and it's supposed to help offset that food insecurity. Well, some states have chosen not to accept it. And so the question is, so what happens now? Well, to answer your question specifically, you said, why do they not do that? Well, I think in part, a large part of it is when you look, if you are somebody who believes in less government, less dependency on government, less financial aid for social programs, and you hear, well, there's going to be more financial dollars going into EBT, that might just in principles be something that you're against. And I'm not saying that federal program, you know, there's not going to be a federal program that's not going to be bloated in some way, it's not going to have some waste, not going to have some abuse. That's all a part of it. But I'm not looking at a policy. I'm looking at the effect because The reality is so many of our kids in our area are going to be hurting and do not have the family structure to be able to make up that difference. So my frustration is, okay, the federal government comes along and says, okay, we're going to give you X amount of dollars, and they may require an offset of the state. Maybe some of the states say, well, we don't have the offset or whatever. Well, what's frustrating is sometimes if you say, okay, that's the federal government's solution. And as a state, you may say, okay, I don't want that solution for whatever reason. It doesn't matter. I don't want that solution. But the problem still remains. And what's so frustrating is if you say, okay, I don't want that solution, but you don't bring your own solution, then my question is, well, was that solution worse than no solution at all?
Sure.
Because here's what's going to happen is these children and their parents are going to have to seek out assistance. Well, where do they get that from? Well, that's going to come from local pantries, and local pantries get their food from us. So it's going to ultimately roll down to our feet that now these hungry children, families, and all this, you're going to see a vast increase in food insecurity and people seeking food assistance. And so the burden is going to be on us as food banks because we are the safety net for our community.
Well, and they're leaving that up to you and how that's distributed, because if there's millions and millions of dollars that's not wanted by that state level, then that money's either going to go back or it's going to be spent somehow else. And if you're talking about people that are going to be reaching out to pantries and to food banks and this like that because they need to make up that difference, then how is that money being spent then? Is that money going to you and then they're going, okay, Michael, you handle it, you take care of it?
No, that's the difficult part. So let's say if money is allocated through DHR, Health and Human Services, then they say, okay, we're going to funnel this down through a summer EBT. We're going to designate this money. The problem is you can't then take that money that's turned down and say, okay, oh, we'll just shift it over here and give it to food banks. There's no channel or no mechanism to do that. And so there's a lot of inflexibility. What usually happens is if when federal programs are allocated by the Congress or federal government, what's not used goes back to them to be, now they can go back and reallocate that, but that requires, you know, legislative efforts. But that's my question too, as I'm sitting here going, okay, we already are on pace to distribute between 29 and 30 million pounds of food, which is about 3 million more than we did last year.
Yeah.
So we already are meeting inflationary challenges and other type things this way. But then you put on the summer, and of course, the summer's not here yet, but we have to anticipate that. Wow, what even more demand is going to be laid at our feet. And yet we can make an appeal to churches and to businesses and to people to help step up. But that doesn't mean there's going to be more donations. It just means there's going to be more need. And so we may have to end up purchasing that. We may have to end up. But again, that can only come from donated dollars because we're not getting any sort of government assistance. Income influx to be able to meet that need. And, you know, it's so frustrating. I will tell you, just this morning, I was here in the office, and I'm here today, as we mentioned, on Martin Luther King. And he cared so much about people in poverty and struggled and just moved heaven and earth to be able to make the world better for people. And we talked about this in a previous show, Mission Minded, that we do. So thankful for his impact. But I was sitting here today in the office and doorbell rang and I went in there and it was a lady who spoke through Google Translate. There's two ladies and four children. She says, we're from Venezuela. We don't have any food. You know, we heard that you can help. And I just cannot begin to tell you how bad my heart hurts because, you know, here are two women and four children who came from Venezuela. Take aside the political issue, whether they're legal, not legal, I don't even know. But here are people who are hungry. And I want so desperately to be able to lift them up and care for them and help them out, because those little children are going to bed hungry. And we know that we have people who were born and raised here who are going to bed hungry.
Yeah.
And that's traumatic on kids. And when the demand increases for inflation and other means, you're like, we've got to have some help somewhere. And so when a solution is turned down for whatever reason, again, and maybe it's something I don't understand. Maybe it's bigger financial responsibilities they're putting on the states. But the bottom line is, if you set that aside, you at least got to come to the table with a recognition that this problem exists. We have people in our communities that are hungry, both immigrants who are coming in and those who have been lifelong residents of our area. And this is a problem that's not going to go away. And we fight it every day. But, you know, we need a more unified effort where it's both the community and the government that represents us fighting this food insecurity to be able to have a long-term impact and change for the positive.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.